Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. What great lyrics. And we're going to talk about that this morning. How's everybody doing? Everybody awake? Worshiping God, ready to dig into his word. And I look forward to our conversation today. And before I begin, I wanted to just say it's great to have Mandy and Evan here. And Evan, this is the first time you've been back since you became a Christian? You became a Christian when? Like about April? Great to have you, brother. Welcome, man. It's awesome. Evan and Mandy, they live in Atlanta, and it's so great to be able to, you know, see Evan and his growth in the Lord, and many of you know him and have really encouraged him on his journey in his relationship with God, and to be able to have brothers and sisters in Atlanta to be able to continue that journey with him is a blessing. It really is a blessing. We also have Chris and Carla Armstrong here. Chris, can you see that guy stand? Great to have you here. Now, Chris and Carla, you guys were here in the 80s, right? 70s? You were at Call Street, right? Okay, and then university. And what year did you leave here? 84. Okay, I got baptized in 85, so we missed each other. Now you're on your way to Texas, right?
We are there now. We just moved there.
All right. What part of Texas? Oh, Dallas. Okay. And a cowboy fan right behind you there. So, right there. That's a cowboy fan. We let him stay in this church because we're Christians. But great to have you, and great to have you come back. You know, it's awesome to see you. You know, I mean, many of you know Chris and Carla. What I love is that, you know, I meet people that move to Tallahassee, and they go, I'm trying to find a church. Or you may run into people go, I'm trying to find a church, hadn't found a church yet. What a blessing to have churches all around this world that you and I can go to. That we know the fellowship, and we can trust in the fellowship. And it's great to have homes all around the world. I had a friend of mine who moved to Atlanta just 3 weeks ago. And I said, man, you got to hook up with this brother. And I gave him the numbers, and it's just great to have family. He wrote, now, this guy is a millennial, right? He's 24 years old, and he wrote me a thank you card with postage on it. Didn't text me, didn't email me, wrote me a card. I said, what's wrong with him? It was an awesome gesture. I mean, to be able to read, he said, thank you so much for your friendship and just extending that friendship to Atlanta. I mean, just, it's awesome to have family all around the world. And so I just hope that you are very grateful and thankful for that opportunity to have such a worldwide fellowship. This series that we're in right now, the Summer of Psalms, is a special series, and I believe that it's changing hearts and minds because that's what the Psalms are to do. They're instructions to guide our heart, to guide our mind, to guide our emotions, to change our lifestyles. And we hear that through the Word of God. Last week, Psalm 23, many of us are familiar with that psalm, and we talked about contentment. It's so difficult to be content, to be satisfied. Where we are, we always want to be somewhere else. And we learn from David and his sheep mentality, adopting a shepherd in the Lord, and just talking about how if the Lord is the shepherd, he lacks nothing. He's content. Because the shepherd will lead him to quiet waters, green pastures. The shepherd will refresh his soul. He'll guide him for his name's sake. Even though he walks through the dark valleys, he can be content because that shepherd's going to lead him through. His rod and staff are there to comfort him. Oil to anoint the sheep's head, to deal with those little irritations bugs flying in the eyes. We talked about that, little cuts and scrapes that we have in life. The shepherd puts oil on us to anoint us, to protect us, so that we can be content. And I believe we as Christians should really say with all of our hearts that our cup runneth over.
Amen.
We don't need any more in the cup. All the rest, that's just a bonus. But forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit, the hope of heaven, everything else is just a bonus. Everything else is a bonus. And this heart of David, the man that chased after God's heart, was content. Goodness and love. Sheepdogs, we said, are going to follow him all the days of his life. And so today, our psalm of the day will be Psalm 27. Psalm 27, the title, Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. In verse 1 of Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. I think most of us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, if we took inventory, deep inventory, serious inventory, we would quickly discover that we prefer not to wait. We prefer not to wait. The last thing a kid wants to hear from their parents is what? Not now. Not now. Not now. This disease of not wanting or not waiting or wanting to wait follows us into our adult years. Even as adults, we don't want to wait. We are a society that does not wait for much. And I want you to do something now. This causes you to have interaction with your neighbor. Can you name one thing that you don't mind waiting for? One thing that you don't mind. I mean, you will wait for a long time for this. Share it with your neighbor. Take a few minutes. Share it with your neighbor. Do it with somebody you don't know. All right, you guys done? I said one thing. All right, now, who will be bold enough to share the one thing that they don't mind waiting for? All right, Miss Jenny, yes. Go what? To the dentist? The dentist? You said, oh, you don't mind waiting for the, okay, dentist. Put that down, the dentist. You'll wait a long time for the dentist, especially if you want to get a crown. You need to get a crown or a filling, right? Yes. Old age. Hey, some people find that offensive in this room, okay? Don't mind waiting for old age. Put that up, old age. All right, yes, very neat. Death. 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 Some of us, though, are like, bring it on. I'm tired. This world's tough. Yes.
No, I was celebrating.
You right. Yeah. Seth's going, what, mama? You want to die, mama? He's not saying that. She's saying if Jesus came, she would be excited. Okay, all right. Make sure. Okay, yes, Cheryl. What's that? Mondays. Put Mondays up there. All right, yes. Paying taxes. Ah, okay, what else? Yes. Trouble. Trouble comes his way. He wants to wait on that. All right. Yes. For school to start. One thing, how long could you wait for school to start? A long time. Put school to start and put in parentheses a long time. Okay. Yes, Joseph. What's that? Doing the dishes. How long will you wait until you do the dishes, Joseph? Try to wait as long as possible. I'll leave that alone. Yes. Mortgage, the payment of the mortgage. Payment of the mortgage. Can you put that on there? We got room? Mortgage payment. All right. Now, we're going to switch gears. Can you name or share one thing that you have a difficult time waiting for? It's hard for you to wait. Very hard for you to wait for this. Okay, go ahead and share with one another. Go ahead and do it. Share. Okay, all right, who wants to share? All right, Lavinia. What's that? You find it difficult to wait for the end of the workday. Okay, all right, it's hard, okay, end of the workday. All right, yes. Retirements. Difficult to wait for that one day when you can say, I'm done. Yes. And May 31st, and what's May 31st? The last day of school. We got a school theme going on, all right? Hard to wait for the last day of school. Yes, Chris. College football season. Man, hey, Chris, and you know how wild it is in this church, right? In this city, right? I mean, brothers got to be, like, called to come worship. You know, it's tough. I never seen it. Yes, yes. Conflict to be resolved. Difficult to wait for a conflict to be resolved. Yes. Figuring out what God's purpose is. Hard to wait. Difficult to wait for that. Yeah. Yes. Husband.
Suffering to be over.
Yeah, it's hard to wait for suffering to end, that journey. When is it going to end? It's been too long. I'm tired. Yeah, hang on. Payday? It's going to wait for payday. Okay, all right. Yes, John. Short, so yeah, I get it, yes. Okay, so difficult to wait. It's not. It's right there. All right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Food. Difficult to wait for food. Anybody hungry now? Anybody hungry now? Is somebody having a difficult time of waiting to be called on over there? Waiting to be called on. A difficult time waiting your turn. Difficult time. I may not even call on you. All right, yes, your wonderful answer, yes. What? A car. Heard that, Leon? A difficult time waiting on a vehicle. Leon, that father right there, okay. It's hard. Okay, one more, Brandon. What? Traffic. Now, you know when you say that, Mandy and Evan are going to have a hard time with that comment because they are from the hot Atlanta, and their traffic is crazy, and Miami is crazy. When I came to Tallahassee, I said, what traffic? And how long do we wait in Tallahassee for traffic to clear? 7 minutes. But, boy, that's a long time to wait. Waiting is difficult. It's difficult. Now, why is being able to wait so crucial when it comes to our relationship with God? Why is it so crucial to be able to wait in our relationship with God? Yes. Yeah. I mean, saying it is crazy. We go, we don't trust God's timetable. And we can say that, and we go, yeah, that's not right, but it's hard to really get a conviction that we're trusting the timing of God. It's difficult. Yes, Anthony. Yeah, it's critical to wait because growth opportunities come as a result of our waiting. I know in my life, my growth spiritually at times has been stunted because I didn't want to wait. Yes. Yeah, you know, it's crucial because if you don't wait, you know, you can fall in some really, I mean, we left up to us. You know, we're sheep. We relearned that last week. Trust the shepherd. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you know, the benefit of waiting is you can sort out your priorities and have that divine order that we always talk about. But when we don't wait, we can get out of order. And then crazy things start to happen. Yes, Marilyn.
Well, one thing, we're linear, finite
beings. Yeah. Yep, yep.
And when we're waiting on him, then, because he's working it out.
That's right, that's right.
We just want to go get it done.
That's right, yeah. I want it now. We're linear and we're finite. We don't have that aerial view of our lives. And it's critical, it's crucial that we gain the conviction about waiting on the Lord. We're not smart enough. We're not built this way to understand that he is. We got to trust him. Last one, Jenny. You lose your way? Yes, yes. Critical, critical point. If we don't learn to wait, our faith is affected. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We can get humanistic, and all we can see is what's right before us. And when we hear about faith and about God working, even though we don't see him, we go, ah, I tried that. Doesn't work. I'm still suffering. Waiting is staying at your appointed place until God says go. We have a little illustration that we want to show you that I think everybody knows and can remember. A clip from the movie Braveheart. Like, I want the gore. No, we ain't showing gore in church. Wow. Hold, 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 hold. What prompted them to wait on his direction in the midst of a really, really, really stressful moment? What prompted them to wait? He had a plan. Okay. William Wallace had a plan. He had a plan. Yes, Rosemary. Yeah. Having a plan is good. But when those horses are coming at you and those guys are coming at you, you're not thinking plan. But they trusted in the plan. And they trusted in the man with the plan. Who else? Yeah.
I think too, if they hadn't waited and told, it would have been total destruction.
consequences of not waiting. Who else? Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. There's something in them that trusted in his reputation. He had proven himself. They were all together, standing together. And you can, one of their eyes, remember he was like, okay, are you serious? Hold. And I love that. Hold, hold. I can picture our congregation going, hold, hold, wait. Boy, if we could do that this week, wouldn't that be awesome? If all of us could just hold, hold, and wait for God's instructions, what kind of week we would have. But there are times that I go, ah! And I can't hold. I can't wait. Or I'm like going, hey, man, we got, I'm complaining. I'm a little bitter. I'm going, we're waiting too long. We're going to get destroyed. And either I attack or I bail, or I criticize the commander. You know, Psalms 27 really is a war psalm. It's about being in the battle. And our brother Dan, if you watched the show, heard that I was going to do this clip, and this is what he made. He made, I said I wouldn't swing it because I don't want to be liable to you or to myself. I couldn't imagine, I mean, this thing is heavy. And to be able to trust in this is one thing. I can trust it. I can do this if I'm a warrior. But many times, you know, we have the sword. You know, we have our weapons. We have it right here, and it's all fine and sharp and double-edged. And we have it in our hand, but we don't hold. Sometimes we can throw it away and pick up something else. Though Psalm 27 opens with a confident question, the psalmist does. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's a great question. Confident question. The psalmist, we find, has a lot to fear. He has a lot to fear. In verse 2, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. He had adversaries. He had enemies. He had foes. There was a lot to fear. Verse 3, though an army besiege me, though war break out against me, war, army, foes, enemies all around in verse 6, yet his eyes see more than the distressing nature of his circumstances and worship. Makes all the difference. Worship makes all the difference. You can have your sword, but if you don't worship and trust and give honor and glory to that commander, things won't work. And verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Worship is the key to waiting. If you don't worship well, you won't wait well. If you have struggles waiting, it's because you have struggles. I have struggles. We have struggles worshiping. Worship is that inward feeling and outward action that reflects the worth of God. There was something in these soldiers that knew William Wallace was worthy of this instruction. We trust him. He's a proven warrior, a battle master. We're not moving. Hold, hold, hold. They trusted. How does worship help us to wait? The psalmist's time of worship leaves him enraptured by God's beauty. In verse 4. Gaze on the beauty of the Lord. God is amazing. He's wonderful. He's awesome. He's beautiful. He's incredible. One thing to seek, to dwell, to sit, to abide, and to gaze and behold and gloat and look at the favor, the delightfulness, the pleasantness of God, even in the midst of war, to look at him and to worship and hold him higher and focus on him more than our crises. Worship. Worship helps you to wait. You know, it always amazes me when the iPhones come out, for example. And, you know, let's say, you know, the iPhone 10. I don't know, what are we at, 7 now? 8. The iPhone 8 comes out. And you'll see the news and the papers, and you'll see lines of people waiting for hours. All night. For a phone. What are they doing to that phone? Worshiping it, gazing on its beauty, holding it before God. Shoot, people, if I say we're going to worship, have all night worship, they're like, what? All night? Some of you are going, hour and a half tops. I got to get out of here. But when it comes to an iPhone 8, you see, when we see the value, the beauty, the amazing worth of God, we will wait on him. We'll listen and we'll say, I'm not moving until you say go. It's very difficult to get to, and every day we have to renew our worship. It's not easy. We have many distractions. We're on a battlefield. We're so many temptations, all of us. We fight to stay focused. It's not easy. I want to tell you something unique about many of the members that are in this church. Something very unique. And it's so unique that when I talk to people about my experience and my travel and my journey, they look at me and go, what? As if I were an alien. We have some aliens in this church. And what I'm speaking of, we have people, couples, that are married right now that met, became friends, became boyfriend and girlfriend, got engaged, got married, and lived throughout that journey, a pure life. And when they were on their honeymoon, it was the first time that they'd ever seen each other the way that God built them. Amen. We have couples in this room that had that fight of impurity, with all the arrows of impurity and all these things that happen in our society going against them. They listened to God and said, hold, hold, hold. And God got the glory.
Amen.
I have a question for you couples. I don't want to point you out. I know many of you, but I want you to share. Could you share what influenced your waiting? What influenced you waiting against your own desires? The world and its current. What influenced you to wait? Yeah, JP. You know, that's a very experience is a great teacher. When you live one way and you've done it one way and you like Burger King did it your way, and then God says, can you hold and do it my way? Appreciate you sharing that. But I want you to understand, sometimes we can get used to, oh, yeah, we have, you know, 20 couples that had a great, you know, honeymoon and stayed pure. Do you realize how big that is? How difficult that is? How special that is? How honorable that is? Yes, somebody. Yes, Anthony.
I just, you know, when Dad had David, I just saw that she was God's daughter.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing when you become a Christian, you actually care about somebody's daughter. Before I became a Christian, I was immoral. I didn't care about that being their daughter. I said, I'm glad you made that daughter. It was for me. I didn't think about the father. I didn't think about the mom. Didn't think about it was their baby. I just didn't want to wait. What else? Who else? Yes, Heather. That's right. That's right. Boy, I hope everybody heard that. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, we want acceptance. We want to be loved. And we don't wait. We don't even know how to wait. And so we just say, well, I guess he loves me or she loves me, so let me go ahead and give my heart, and yet recognizing that God loves us the most and getting our security and our confidence in God. How huge is that? It's big. You know, things that for me, God's word, obviously, when I read that immorality was outside of God's will, it was hold, and I thought, do I want to hold? But then it all made sense because of AIDS and diseases and ruined relationships. I said, okay, that's why you tell me to hold. Because I am going out of your design for relationships. So I see that. I got that instruction, Lord. I'm going to hold. I don't know how I'm going to hold, but I got to hold. And you know who helped me to hold? Obviously, my brothers. My brothers helped me to hold. Because they held me accountable. We were going through the same thing. We're in the same, what do you call those holes that soldiers, foxholes. I'm like, bro, how you doing, man? I mean, FAMU, Florida A&M University. 7 women to 1 guy. I needed help. I needed prayers. I needed fellowship. How you doing, AB? Oh, it's a struggle today, man. The girl in psychology class wants to study. Me, not psychology. What helped me was a fear of ruining my relationship with Carlin. Doing damage, scarring, not treating her like God's daughter. We waited. The church culture. I couldn't believe that people were serious about purity. I was amazed. We shared this story. Worship is the key to our waiting. Worship helps me to be confident that God hears and will answer. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me, verse 7. Confident that the Lord hears me. Worship helps me to be confident in his work. God is unique in his work, not like other lowercase g gods. In Isaiah 64:4, it says, since the ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait on him. See, God will act if you wait. If you worship, he'll work. Isaiah contrasts Jehovah with the Babylonian gods. Jehovah doesn't need to be carried like some god, some idol. He magnifies his greatness by working for those he loves. God aims to show us his power, his presence, and his wisdom. But will you wait? Worship helps me to know that God would not forsake me. I love verse 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Doesn't matter how many relationships in your life have failed you, God will not fail you. The end result of worship is courage and confidence in the Lord. The psalmist knew it. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. They tell us that getting old ain't for wimps. Tell you what else ain't for wimps. Waiting. It takes courage, it takes faith, it takes a strong heart, and a willingness to worship God. You do that, you'll wait, practically, as we close. What does it mean to wait on the Lord, practically? Now, amen for all this theology. Practically, what does it mean? Look to God and seek his will. That's how you wait. What does God say? If he says hold, you hold. If he says go left, you go left. If he says go right, you're right. Stay there, hold, you stay there and hold. If you're not reading the Bible daily, you cannot wait because you don't know what you're waiting for. Psalm 106 says, but they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave into their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. It had been so easy to say, you know, God, I don't want to wait for your plan to unfold. I want to get married now. I want a girlfriend now. I want to be intimate now. But you wait. Oh, I want to be financially secure now. I want to be healthy now. Wait. Seeking God's counsel in prayer is how you wait. You pray about it. Seeking advice. Some of us are independent. You're independent. And let me tell you what happens when I get independent. When I get independent, I don't wait. Because I'm going on my counsel alone. Yeah. What do you think, A.B.? Sounds good, A.B. Yeah. What do you think, A.B.? That's a great plan, A.B. It's amazing when you take that A.B. plan to somebody else, they go, bro, that ain't a great plan. Maybe consider this. Oh, yeah. Some of us are not growing spiritually because we're answering our own questions. You don't talk to anybody. You don't really seek to know something new about you. So you don't grow. You don't grow. And you don't wait. Meditation, being still. We got to be okay. I know some of us are ADD just physiologically. You just can't stand still. I tell you what, your standing still may be, for those of us who are ADD, it may be a minute. But that's a minute that will benefit your life. Take time to meditate. Be still. Let's remember that we face a spiritual battle zone every day. Let us grow in the trust of our great and awesome shepherd and commander and chief. When God says, let us hold, when he says advance, let's do so with faithful and trusting hearts. Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. This Wednesday, in our small groups, let's discuss this. And let's see the benefits of waiting on the Lord. If you have prayer needs this morning, we're going to be in the prayer room right after I pray, and we'll be dismissed. And we want to pray with you. We want to meet a need if you feel the need for prayer. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for being a Father who's so patient. You wait on us. You wait for us to change. You wait for us to discover your will. You wait for us to repent. Father, you're patient with us. And Father, I pray that in my life, that I'll every day, Father, wake up and wait for your spirit to lead me. Wait for your will to be just a part of my life, a part of my mind. Father, there are times where I get bitter. Because I'm tired of waiting. I go ahead of you. Father, help us all to trust in the shepherd. Father, you are that shepherd. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the sharing. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for this time of worship. Father, you truly are worth waiting for. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Have an awesome day.